A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore," Jesus continued, "stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. You know those lines of Jesus that we have, that we hear in today's Gospel? No one ever reads them with a happy face, like, "Hey, you do not know the time nor the hour." It's always kind of ominous sounding, you know. "You do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." And it scares a lot of people. That's not the intent of Jesus. Let's just take a look at it. What is this all about as we begin this wonderful grace season of Advent? You know, there's always four Sundays in Advent. The most days, 28 days, out of 28 days that you can have in Advent, this year we have 23. It's just where Christmas falls on the calendar. So we want to take advantage of it. It's a little over 3 weeks, and it's a great grace time to prepare for the celebration of Christmas. Christmas, we oftentimes say, this is when Jesus is born, this is when Jesus comes. Jesus was born a long time ago. And does Jesus come on December 25th? He sure does. But he also comes on 24th, 23rd, and 22nd, and in January, February, every day of our lives. And when the Lord says, "Be prepared, for you do not know when the Son of Man is coming," many people limit that to thinking of sister death or the end of the world. Well, don't wait till then. It's right now. At any time, any minute, we never know how the Lord will come to us, urging us to something new, to change something, to be better people. It can be through the scriptures. A scripture that you've heard a million times or read a million times before, and today it's meant for you when you hear it. When you read it, it jumps out off the page. Or it can come through the mouth of another person. Person has talked to you many times, and today they say something, and they don't even know. We don't even know when we are the instruments of God for someone. And we might ask, "Why did you say that?" "I don't know, they said it." Or God speaks to us, comes through the situations in life, some of which are joyful and some of which are painful. "Be prepared," the Lord says. How is it that we prepare? Let's look at this. It's really easy to see how secular society prepares for Christmas. Is it just me, or does it seem like every year department stores prepare for Christmas 1 month earlier each year? You know, at this rate, December 26th, we'll be preparing for next Christmas. You know, it just seems earlier and earlier. Secular society wants to jump right into Christmas. Well, it's that secular part of it. Much of it has to do with materialism. Some has to do with consumerism. We could say hedonism. That's a word that means self-gratification. I know behind it all, there is the gift-giving and love and family and wanting to share. But it's real easy to get wrapped up in all the rush, isn't it? The rush, and if you had the blessing, like my parents did, of having 9 children, that could be 9 times 9 grandchildren or more. You know, and there's all these people to think of, and the longer we are in the world, the more descendants you have, probably, and then there's more people to buy gifts for. And one year, you just want to say, no more gifts for me this year. You can all bring me gifts. But we can get all tied up in the worry part, right? That's not what Advent is about. It's the inner, the internal preparation to celebrate, well, the great feast of Christmas, which celebrates what already exists, God's tremendous love. The Lord is born. The Lord has already come. We, our ancestors, messed things up through, in that story of Adam and Eve, we hear very well, and trying to give an answer to where did the world come from, where did we come from, where did sin come from. So there are great stories in the Bible about that. What's at the bottom of it is we try to be God. We try to do it on our own. And God, knowing that we are wounded people, knew only God could fix it. Only God could save us. And there was one way to do it. And God surprised us. He made a promise of a Savior, of a Messiah, but it would be God himself, not sent someone else. Jesus, who is God. So he comes and he becomes wounded, fatally wounded, to identify with our wounds. Again, I know I sound like a broken record, but this is so important that God chose to experience firsthand, to know exactly, experience what it's like to be you, what it's like to be me, to enter into our pain, our woundedness. So whenever we're tempted to think, God doesn't know what it's like, God knows what it's like, right? We might not be able to know what other people go through. We can empathize, but God knows. God really knows. And this love, my favorite word, is mind-boggling. It really is. On the retreats in Wisconsin, those 8 years I worked there preaching retreats, it wasn't the women so much as the men, but the men sometimes on the weekend would try to count how many times I would say mind-boggling. And I think it's a good word because it's a mystery, isn't it? And nobody can understand the mystery. But we can accept it, we can embrace it, we can love the mystery of God's love, and we can live it. And that's what the Lord calls us to. About God's saving action, which we celebrate at Christmas in a special way, there's 3 things about God saving us and freeing us once and for all. It's our choice to accept it or reject it. But I'm preaching to the choir here. Not just this choir, but the choir here, because that's why we're here. We know that we need God. The 3 things are that it had never been done before, and it cannot be undone. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Here are the keys to the kingdom. Not even the powers of hell can break this, take it away. And the 3rd thing is, it's permanent. It lasts forever. How do we pray during Advent? Certainly, personal prayer, communal prayer, masses, sacraments, days of recollection. I'm making a pitch for the one we're having on the 14th. There's one for women on the 7th, and on the 14th for men and women, and we'll have the sacrament of reconciliation during that time, a good time during Advent. And preparing in that way with prayer. It's a time to recognize, as we said in the beginning, what weighs us down. We all have something. There's at least one thing. If you can't think of what is it that weighs me down, what am I kind of a slave to, what chains me down, there's got to be something. Identify it. Name it for yourself. And give it to God. And ask God to be healed. This is the great wounded healer. All healing comes from God. sometimes through other people, but it all comes from God. And that is what Advent is about. Christmas is a reminder of our salvation that God has freed us. So yes, the Lord is coming, has come. He's here. O come, we cry out, Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen.